Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hey everyone, welcome into Attacking Third. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's segment, we are making some picks in our preview of NWSL Week 2. Before we get into everything, a quick reminder to leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. We're also on YouTube, so subscribe to us right here at youtube.com/attackingthird. Make sure you get exclusive NWSL content, previews, recaps, interview, all right here on A3. And Paramount Plus is your home for the 2023 NWSL season. Paramount Plus is giving away one free month to kickstart you for the NWSL season. So please use promo code NWSL2023. That's NWSL2023 for one free month of Paramount Plus. Week 2, it's already here. It's upon us. Coming up on kicking things off, I think on Saturday, games running through Sunday. All 12 clubs back in action. 6 games on the slate of schedule. And we got to make some picks, Lisa. We got to talk about the team performances and stuff like that. How are you doing this morning? We're going a little earlier.
We are. And I'm doing pretty good. I hate when we come on here, well, when I come on here and I'm like, the weather, blah, blah, blah. It's freezing in Philadelphia today. It is frigid. It's been like 50s the last couple of days, 33 today, freezing when I woke up. But in other sports news, happy opening day to all those who celebrate. I'm a Philadelphia Phillies fan, as those that are maybe listening or watching for the first time. National League champs, we're back at it this year. So that's exciting for all the baseball fans out there. It's a long season for baseball, so it's fun when opening day comes around, because in conjunction with the weather, it usually means things are about to get a little brighter and a little sunnier. Means we're into spring. But how are you, Sandra? Good morning.
I'm doing well. I love that you tied those two things together, because I agree completely. I feel like for a lot of folks out there, the opening day for a baseball season is also like a heavy symbol of spring for many. And I'm here for it. I mean, I'm wearing my White Sox hat today, so you know, it's like let's kind of get into the spirit and the mood of springtime seasonal type of sports, and maybe week two in NWSL meet symbolizes that as well for some folks. Let's hope it does, because we have got to make some picks for week two. We've got to preview some of these clubs. We finally have games to build off of and talk about in making these picks, and maybe we'll see some surprises along the way. So let's start there. Let's maybe start with a handful of clubs who are looking for points, because there were some teams in week one who walked away with some losses, maybe walked away with some points on the table. Let's start with Chicago Red Stars versus Houston Dash. It's the Chicago Red Stars home opener, so they're going to play host at SeatGeek Stadium. This one kicking off on Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and you can catch all the action on Paramount Plus. Lisa, I'm just going to kickstart this and make it easy for us. I'm going with the Red Stars again.
That's no surprise, Sandra.
Hey, it's no surprise, but I think I'm have a little bit of a little bit here to go off of, considering their week one performance. I think when we were going through our recap of week one, we chatted a bit about how that was a really thrilling game of the matches that took place across week one. Chicago at San Diego. We saw some good play from the Red Stars throughout long stretches of that match, and the loss ultimately coming in a late game scenario with a penalty kick conversion by Alex Morgan. But they scored some goals. They played well. We saw the return of somebody like Atierna Davidson. Mm-hmm. I think maybe they can finally piece that all together and make sure that perform a little bit better on defending set pieces, right? Yeah. Little things like footage that you get to have and go back and take a look at film. And I'm going to go with the Red Stars in this one. I think they want to get the 3 points at the home opener. How about you?
I like that. I think that being at home does give Chicago an upper hand. If anything, like weather in a little bit of a sense too, like Houston's used to being in more of a warmer climate. It is an advantage for the Red Stars. However, I think that when you look at the comparison that we have of these two sides from their opening match week games, Chicago, they came out of the gate fast. They got 2 goals in the first half, but they also conceded 2 in the first half, and they were breakdowns defensively. A goalkeeping mistake on Alyssa Nair, which we rarely see for her and for Chicago, on one of San Diego's goals, and then corner kick defending, which has been the Achilles heel of this Chicago team over the last couple of seasons. They've got to get that together. They have got to figure that out early in this 2023 season. Can they defend better on set pieces, on corner kicks, make sure they're getting the first ball and the second ball? That's where they struggled. I think that in this game for Chicago against Houston, we're going to see goals coming from both sides. But I do still think that Houston is going to get the upper hand and take 3 points off of Chicago. If it's not a draw, but I didn't want to start with the draw. So I'm going to give it to Houston. But if this ends in a draw, I will not be at all surprised.
You're like, I want to go on the record. I really do feel this way.
I feel it's going to be a draw. But the way that we talked about Houston last week, and the way that the Dash played against Racing Louisville was an incredibly exciting match. Ryan Garris, in just her second season with the Dash, got her start in the front line alongside Ebony Salmon and Diana Ordonez. And Ryan Garris played with the confidence of a 6-year veteran in this league, but the physicality of a veteran in this league, but also the energy and the fitness of a rookie or a second year player. She had all the pieces coming together. And the way that Houston's front three that started the game between Salmon, Ordonez, and Garris, and then when Maria Sanchez gets rotated in there, it just elevates things as well. Their off-ball movement for the Dash was phenomenal. They caused a lot of problems for Racing Louisville's back line that was very organized, but it still left open some holes and left open some various spots and chances for advantages to be taken. And the way Chicago plays with the three back that struggled a little bit on set pieces and services into the box last week, and that's something that Houston really thrives on. I think that the Dash are going to try to take advantage of that three front runners and three defenders matchup that they have, try to create overloads, especially in the wide area, send crosses into the box. And Diana Ordóñez, she missed one. She missed a wide open header she should have had last week. And if given even one chance in front of goal, Diana Ordóñez is going to find the back of the net this week. So I'm going to go with Houston.
I like it. I like the arguments that you've made, but I like that somewhere inside you, you're like, this could be the draw, but I just didn't want to come out blazing like that.
From both sides. Like Mallory Swanson's probably going to get a goal. I think she should get a goal, and I would be very excited about that. So if it's a 2-1 or 1-1 or 2-2 even, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm going to give the edge to Houston.
And I think in these early weeks too, I think something like health, you know, and fitness, we're sort of taking a look at and keeping an eye on as well. You know, we know Maria Sanchez, according to head coach, them ladies, you know, they're sort of working back in after picking up some preseason knocks, and they didn't want to, you know, strain her too early on. Sanchez and Ordóñez with recent call-ups to Mexico's national team. They'll be participating with Mexico during the April international window of friendlies. You know, who's going to be available for Chicago, right? Is a Bianca St. George's going to be available and back and ready for this team, and where she wasn't in week one? And I think that changes the shape a lot for Chicago in terms of, you know, who they have plugged in to those spaces. So we'll see. I like that we started off with this one, but we also want to make a quick pick for Orlando Pride and Angel City, because this is the lone game taking place on Sunday. We've got five matches across the board slated for Saturday, but Sunday belongs to Orlando and Los Angeles. Pride versus Angel City, 5:30 p.m. Eastern is the kickoff. Catch it on Paramount Plus. Lisa, I went ahead and made the first pick. I'm going to give you first crack at this one as well. Pride versus Angel City. Do you see one team coming out of this winner or loser? Is this the game that you saved a draw for? Tell me what you got.
I have Angel City taking the win in this match over Orlando Pride. Looking back, of course, to last week and kind of Orlando going on the road to Providence Park and playing against the Thorns. We talked about it in our recap of last weekend. They got demolished 4-0 in that game. Orlando could not connect. They were just being run over by Portland. And I hope that Orlando wipes that slate clean. They're now playing at home. They're welcoming in an Angel City side that's probably a little ticked off after their game last weekend, that they ended up losing to Gotham after a VAR call and a goal gets taken back and then another VAR call and a penalty kick is given. So because of that and kind of how it shakes out, I think this game's going to be a little feisty. I think it's in the best way. I think it's going to be intense. Because both sides are a little upset. Orlando's not happy with what happened last week, getting beat 4-0. They want to prove that they are here to compete this year. They're building those foundation and the building blocks to a new year under Seb Hines. Defensively, they've got to be a lot tighter. So I think we're going to see a little bit more organization on one end from Orlando Pride to not expose themselves as much, especially in transition, which is going to make it a little difficult for Angel City, a team that likes to move in transition. That's how they scored two of their goals, one being taken back. But it's going to be a little trickier for them to do that. So I'm imagining a very, very narrow scoreline, but I am going to give Angel City the edge. I think the attacking pieces that this Los Angeles side has is just electric at this point. They've got Claire Emsley up top, Katie Johnson. I was really impressed with what she could do on the pitch for Angel City last week. June Endo in the midfield just provides a very different look tactically. She can see the game so well, which allows her to feed passes through to that front line. And Alyssa Thompson, I'm not sure we'll get another goal from the young buck in Alyssa Thompson, but I think she'll be part of the goal no matter what it is, an assist, a hockey assist. But I am going to give this one to Angel City. What about you? Purple or pink in this one?
I'm not going to lie. This is the game that had me going back and forth. I'm like, is this the game that I say, you know what, this has a draw written on it? I'm not too sure. I'm also eager to see Freya Coombe and her, you know, plans and utilization for Alyssa Thompson as we start to see a lot more younger players called into the mix for NWSL contracts. A lot is being discussed about these players who are still in high school. Really, yeah. How are they going to navigate these pro careers and how are they going to be utilized? We also need to mention the fact that this team finally announced the signing of Scarlett Gamberos. So also part of this team, perhaps going to be available for this weekend. Now, this is the beauty of us, I think, going a little bit early in the week and doing our preview and not having those availability reports just yet because they typically drop the day before the actual matches and kind of have these little bits and pieces of news along the way, like this Gamberos signing that was recently announced. And I think those are exciting moves, though, for a team like Angel City. I think those are extra little bits of X factors where you get excited about a player's arrival and maybe you take that energy into your next game. And it's part of that reason why, even though they're going to be on the road, I'm also going to go with Angel City in this one. I just liked what I saw from them in their game against Gotham. And while I do believe that Orlando Pride probably went back into trainings this week and absolutely want to have the energy of let's forget that week one match and just focus on moving forward, I do anticipate that they will look a little bit different, perhaps a little bit more improved, maybe a little bit more ready in their defensive shape. But I just think that there's a little bit more there for Angel City, despite them also being a team that's been dealing with some early season injury issues. I just think that there's more there in terms of the performances that we saw out of Sarah Gordon on the back line for this Angel City team, out of someone like a June Endo in week one. And I think these are the players that are going to help propel them get the win in Orlando.
Yeah, I like that. I agree. I think Orlando is going to look a little different this time out. Maybe not structurally so different, but we're going to see different tactics trying to be implemented by Seb Hines' side. But now our scoreline for sure, even the people in our chat are saying they've got Angel City, but it's going to be tight.
Okay. All right. Maybe folks are thinking that this one should have been the draw too, right? Yeah. I like that in both of these first two picks, we kind of wanted to preface that by saying like, oh, we think that maybe either of these can be a draw, but we'll see. So I would like to make picks so we get to talk about them during the recaps. And we've got more to make. So stick with us right after a quick break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Tailor Brands.
Saturday on CBS, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship road to the Final Four reaches its final destination in Houston. Coverage of the semifinal games begins at 3 Eastern with At the Final Four and the Final Four show, all leading up to tip off at 6 when Florida Atlantic faces San Diego State, followed by Miami clashing with UConn. The NCAA Men's Final Four National Semifinals Saturday on CBS, and you can get all your college hoops madness with Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish on the Eye on College Basketball podcast. You can get previews, news, nightly recaps. So make sure you listen to Eye on College Basketball for all your college basketball needs. We're talking about spring to lead off this episode, and this is another one of those things, right? I think that symbolizes spring coming in. We're like, oh yeah, happy opening day to those who celebrate MLB opening day. And then it's like, actually, March Madness is also one of those like spring seasonal type of sporting events where you're like, okay, this also has very much the energy of bringing in spring. I'm so amped for this. I can't believe it's almost over. We've got, you know, men's Final Four taking place on Saturday. The women are going to tip off on Friday. We're very excited for that as well. So definitely let us know whether it's baseball or college basketball, who you watching this weekend alongside NWSL, of course. And let's keep making some picks. Let's talk all about the rematch. I think that's the billing in this one for sure. We've got Kansas City Current and their home opener going up against Portland Thorns FC. This is the match that is really going to set week two in motion, because this one's kicking off on Saturday at 12:45 ET on CBS. So make sure you tune in and see what happens in a rematch of the 2022 NWSL Championship Final. Kansas City Current runners up in that match. And this one, they're going up against the reigning champions, Portland Thorns, who walked away with the trophy on that day. Curious to see how Kansas City looks on the field against Portland, because if we're going off of week one performances, Portland looks like they're all right. Didn't have to necessarily kick off a bunch of that preseason rust that we always mention in these early weeks of the regular season. Some great reporting out of Kansas City trainings. A shout out to Daniel Sperry saying that Morgan Gautreaux and Vanessa DiBernardo are back and participating in current trainings. If that availability report drops and those players are available, I would imagine that Kansas City looks a little bit different in terms of what they present to the opposition on the pitch that day. But as far as a pick goes, Lisa, I'm wondering if you and I are leaning the same way here in this game.
I'm leaning towards Portland. Which way are you going?
I'm also leaning towards Portland.
Okay. So we're leaning together. So all if right. we fall, we both fall together. I like this matchup. I'm really excited to see it. I think there's going to be a lot of emotions in this one for both sides. Although Kansas City looks a bit different, their roster makeup is a bit different and advanced from the final last year in 2022. There's still a lot of the same core people. This game is also being played in Kansas City. It's the Current's home opener at Children's Mercy Park. They're looking to pack that park. They're looking to break their own personal attendance record at Children's Mercy and get a lot of fans out for this game, because it is a rematch. It's on CBS SN, I believe, or Big CBS. And because of that, there's a lot of like pomp and circumstance around this. And Kansas City plays to that. They do. I think they feed into that a little bit more. They break out the celebrations. They get fun. They almost get looser in that type of setting and that type of stage when it is such a big game. They don't tense up. And because of that, I think it's going to be a really, really good match. But you're looking at a Portland Thorns side that just pummeled Orlando Pride, getting four goals, getting the shutout. Sophia Smith gets a goal and an assist in this one. There's four different goal scorers. The goals for the Thorns come in a variety of ways. And this Portland side has minimal changes from their roster last year. They're the second most team that kept and retained most of their players from last year, just behind O.L. Rain. And Mike Norris, the new head coach at the Thorns, has really kept things the status quo. Like, why shake things up too much when you won last year? And when you look at kind of the makeup and the lineup that Portland Thorns has, it's incredibly lethal. We're seeing Crystal Dunn being pushed higher into the midfield, where she is a bit more comfortable and can be much more effective on the ball. her combination play with Kuika in behind her. They're making overlapping runs. They're combining with each other. That partnership between those two is really, it's really good. It's really impressive, and it's really difficult to defend against. And Haley Mays for Kansas City is going to be that left side defender, having to mark up against Crystal Dunn, against a Sophia Smith, who's going to push wide out of that central area as well. It's going to be a bit of an overload on the right side for Portland Thorns. And I'm just not sure Kansas City has the depth and the numbers to handle that much pressure from Portland. I think Kansas City will hold pretty tight. I don't think it'll be another blowout for the Thorns getting four and a shutout. But I do think Portland will take the win.
I think it's an important point that you make because the footage is out now. There's film. There's officially film on every team in a regular season setting now after week one. And I think it's important that you note that right side for Kansas City, because that right side struggled in that opening week one match against North Carolina. Is there something there that Portland will take a look at and try to continue to work on and build on and try to build up their attack and through the right flank there? I don't know. We'll see. But I think that's the difference of what we saw between those two teams, right? We saw the familiarity, we saw the comfortability and the cohesion between players and teammates on a team like Portland versus what we saw in Kansas City during week one. Are there players on that Kansas City's current squad who have that familiarity with each other? Yes, but there's also a ton who don't. I am excited to see a possible week two development of Michelle Cooper. I think when we were doing our recap, you and I were both really excited and high on that player and coming out of that North Carolina Courage week one loss. But we'll have to see, because that availability report, I think, might indicate whether or not she gets a start or is, you know, coming off the bench for the team. But both Lena and Portland, you and I both, I think everyone, if you get the chance, make sure you watch this game because it's on network CBS. You're going to get to see a real battle, I think. I think the home opener is going to elevate some things for Kansas City, even if for some reason there is still some early season uncomfortability, right? Yeah. We talked about getting so many new pieces, whether that's via free agency, acquisition, or the draft, that there probably is going to be a little bit of time there for this team to finally come together and gel. Early injuries might not help that, right? Because it's still going to, you're integrating these new players from these knocks in preseason. But I think there's something to say about having that, that first home opener in your regular season. And I think if you're Kansas City, there's something to say about the community that has sort of rallied around you in terms of completely appearing at those matches. So I think there's going to be an elevated level of play for both sides, right? Not in the sense that it's the rematch of the final, but just that it'll be a good environment.
Yeah, it'll be a great environment. I think that's so true, that the culture Kansas City has developed and cultivated in that city, and the fact that it is on big CBS and that it's the home opener. I think there are a lot of factors that lean towards this being one of the best matchups of the weekend, frankly. If I'm looking across the board at all six games that are going to be played, this is one that I am making sure I am not hitting on, or this is one I'm making sure I'm not missing, because it's one that I really want to watch. And there are some really big superstars that I want to see get time. I mean, you just touched on Michelle Cooper. I think that's one that we could see developments from last week. She had really good moments. She made great runs into space, but her passes were just a little bit off. The connection between her and some of the other forwards and midfielders weren't quite there. Perhaps that's opening day jitters and the first game of the season playing in Providence Park. But I think a lot of that will settle down, and we'll see a Kansas City side that has taken strides to get better and really compete at the top level this year.
I hear you. We're both leaning Portland Thorns. Do we want to maybe try to put a scoreline on it on this one?
Ooh, yeah, let's do that. I'm going like 2-0 Portland.
Okay. 2-0 Portland. I'm going to say 2-1. I'm going to say 2-1. And and we'll see if we are correct in our picks. We've got a few more to make. There's three more games that we have to go through and make our picks for week two. So stick with us after a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, we're back. Let's chat a little bit more about the remaining weekend matches for week 2 in NWSL. Let's talk a little bit about Racing Louisville. And oh no, my computer just froze. Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here. We got you.
Oh my goodness. I got worried. I thought for a second I was like vanished.
Your picture didn't freeze, your voice didn't freeze. All is good. Wow, that was great. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's keep moving on. We're gonna chat about Racing Louisville versus Washington Spirit. This one kicking off at 3 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. Racing Louisville playing the host in this one, also there. Home opener for the regular season. So we're going to hopefully see some sights and sounds at Lynn Family Stadium in Louisville, Kentucky. We have one team that had a win in this game, and we've got another team that maybe wants to build off their week one performance. A 0-0 draw for Racing in their first match against Houston, and then Washington Spirit getting all 3 points against Ole Rain. We've yet to pick a draw in our pick selections here.
Are you reading my mind, Sandra?
I don't know. Am I setting you up? It is opening day in baseball. So am I lobbing you a softie here?
You sure are. I am going with a draw between Racing Louisville and Washington Spirit because last week Washington Spirit went out against OL Reign and OL Reign struggles in scoring and finding the back of the net. And Washington had one shot of really one great opportunity coming from Trinity Rodman that found the back of the net. Going up against a Katie Lund who had a outstanding opening day game for Racing Louisville in goal proves that it is very difficult to score against a Racing Louisville team, and it's not going to come easy. And for a team like Washington Spirit that only had 4 shots on target in their last match, that's not going to be enough to get past Katie Lund. I don't think so. They're going to have to do something a little bit more creative. So I'm going with a scoreless draw in this one as well. Not even a 1-1. I'm putting Chucky eggs across the board for this one because I think that the defensive battle is just going to be too great for Racing Louisville. I was really impressed with how they played against Houston last week. They ended with another 0-0 draw. So it's going to go back-to-back Chucky eggs for me for Racing Louisville, which is not the way Kim Bjorkegren wants to start the year. However, there's a lot of new pieces on this Racing Louisville side. We talked about it. They broke a record with players from 6 different continents in the starting lineup. That's a lot to gel, and that's a lot to put together. And we saw moments of it against Houston for Racing Louisville where they were able to come together. Their passing was in sync. They looked really dangerous. I think defensively, Racing Louisville was incredibly organized. They really got back behind the ball. They didn't let Houston counterattack. They tried to stay organized immediately as they lost the ball to the dash. Louisville just dropped straight back. And against Washington, that's going to be a very similar game plan for Kim Bjorkegren, because if you get Trinity Rodman or Ashley Hatch out with space in front of them, it's game over for you. So that's not going to happen. They're not going to let that happen. And because of that, I don't think it's going to be quite as end-to-end as it was against Houston, which maybe makes it a little less exciting, but it's going to be more of a chess match in that sense, where it's going to be a mind game of maybe slowly luring your opponent to sleep from either end and then looking to counterattack on the weak side. But I'm going with a scoreless draw in this one, Sandra. What about you?
I love that not only did you save your draw for this game, but you had a specific score line in it, and it's 0-0. So you're telling me that Racing Louisville is going to go not 1 but 2 weeks without scoring a goal.
Yes, but their goal differential is still going to be good because they haven't they haven't conceded one either.
I respect the energy. I also have this one slated for my draw of the weekend, but I've got it narrow and I've got it 1-1 because I desperately, desperately want to see a Racing Louisville go from Uchenna Canoe.
Yeah,
for Racing Louisville. And again, we're looking at home openers for some other teams in week two, those teams who were on the road. This is going to be one of those things for Racing. Hopefully they have a great turnout and the fans there make some noise for them and go ahead and provide a little bit of that X factor for the home side. And looking at Washington Spirits and their performance out of last week against OL Reign, it's a different opposition, right, that they're going against this week. So it's the game plan might be a little bit different if you're Mark Parsons heading into Louisville on the road. Then maybe you would go up against a team that you're somewhat familiar with, right? Even though Parsons is the new head coach of the Spirit, going up against Laura Harvey and the Reign is not something that he is unfamiliar with. And the game plan that was presented, I don't think is going to be a similar one that you utilize against Racing Louisville. So I'm just sort of curious to see how the middle third of these two teams look like against each other. Again, making these picks ahead of these availability reports. Jalen Howell was someone who was unavailable for Racing in their week one match. Will she be someone that they can slot in to the midfield in this match? For the Spirit, I don't know if there's going to be that sort of same, I don't want to say use the word energy because it was great energy in their home opener. But, you know, I think sort of looking at, the performances, not even just from the middle third there, but with, with the Spirit and their own attackers, whether it's a Sanchez or a Rodman or, you know, even a Hatch at this point, I just don't know if they're going to have as much time on the ball as maybe they did in that week one compared to some of the players that Racing is running with in 2023. So I just think that there are some things on each side of the ball that might cancel each other out a little bit. And sometimes when you have things
that
you'll cancel each other out, sometimes it leads to a draw. So I'm also going with a draw, but I would like us to have some goals in the draw. So we're both going draw with Racing Louisville and Washington Spirit. Let's move to Gotham FC versus OL Reign. This one kicking off at 7:30 p.m. also on Paramount Plus. New home opener for a team. Gotham, the hosts in this one. I don't know. This was another one of those games where I was like, is this going to be the draw? I'm not going to lie to you. There's a few of them still where I feel that way. But when I'm looking
only in the second week.
There's still that energy, right? We're still talking about like teams figuring themselves out, not even each other, but like themselves. And when it comes to how they're playing together on the pitch, but excited for Gotham to play hosts. In this one, they're coming off of a pretty big win, pretty awesome goal from Lynn Williams, where she only needed 1.5 arms, you know, to score that game winner. Are we going to see more of that? Is that the type of game that Gotham is going to look at and build on in week two?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, honestly, about Gotham and OL Reign. And I think, yes, to answer it, we will see Gotham build upon their performance from week one. We'll see the powers of Lynn Williams and Midge Purse coming together, combining up top. That was electric. I think we'll still see more of Lynn Williams, despite the whole arm brace. I mean, if she played, 65 minutes with her arm in a brace, what's going to stop her from playing this week? I think that that Gotham will build upon what they had last week. I think Abby Smith suffered a little bit in goal for Gotham, which is very surprising because Abby Smith is an incredible goalkeeper, a youth national team. She's got a lot of great experience. She played at Portland during that championship team. And I just don't think last week was representative of how we know Abby Smith to be able to play. I think she's going to be one that really comes back stronger than ever against this OL Reign side to prove herself. She earned the starting role on a team for the first time really in her career most recently, and she wants to hold on to that. So I think it's going to be incredibly hard to get one past Abby Smith on this game. But with OL Reign, they're a team that struggled against Washington. I mean, they didn't struggle with getting shots up, 16 shots for OL Reign, but they couldn't find the back of the net. And that's been a struggle for Laura Harvey's side. They get all these great chances. They've got incredible off-ball movement. They've got overloads in the wings, and they've got the technical skill, probably the best of anyone in the league. But their ability to finish and the final pass, the final shot, struggles a little bit. I think that's something that they have focused on this week in training because a lot of the other pieces looked pretty good. I'm really curious how we will see Laura Harvey's side lineup. Is Emily Sonnet going to be that defensive midfielder? I hope not. My prediction of this game is contingent upon how we see a Wolverine lineup. If Emily Sonnet's in the midfield and she tries to play that defensive six again, I think it's going to be really difficult for her to keep track of Gotham's front line, and Christy Mewis is just going to run over a Sonnet in that role. It's experience versus inexperience. Gotham's going to get the win. However, I don't think we're going to see Emily Sonnet in the midfield anymore. I think it was a trial, and I don't think we're going to see it that much anymore, or maybe there'll be a lot more structure to how Emily Sonnet plays in that defensive six. But I am going to go with a high-scoring game. I want a goal at least from either side, and I think I'm going to give this one to OL Reign.
Okay. I'm high-scoring. It's interesting to attach that on there, considering the Reign came off. I mean, look, we're talking about it like it's brand new. Is that part of it? Like, the Reign is one of those, they're one of the teams that retained a lot of their 2022 roster going into this new season. And maybe in that sense, it could be a little bit of recipe where it's like, oh, same team, same problems, where it's shot after shot after shot and like minimal, like, gold production. Like, we'll see. It's still
early. I mean, I think OL Reign's gonna get one.
Yes, I think this is the week that it happens. I think we
get a goal. Yeah.
Look, Gotham got the win last week and they have all 3 points, and that's that. Whether people want to go back and forth about how it happened and the introduction of VAR into the league and how they got those 3 points, et cetera, like, that's what it's for. All that is for the fan discourse, and people can go back and forth about that all they want. But something that I don't think is up for debate is how different that backline looked for them in that week one. I think there's still some question marks for Gotham in their defensive shape going into their week two match. We're, again, doing this early, don't have the availability reports, unclear on Krieger's availability and how that team is going to look in terms of their defensive shape in their home opener. I'm with Abby Smith in that. I think in the game against Angel City was a player who kind of grew into the game. Yes, Alyssa Thompson got that ridiculous goal to start things off. Yes, she was chipped by June Endo on a disallowed goal, but that was still something that happened. And those are all things I think that you are looking at from that week one. But I think after the 20 minutes, you saw Abby Smith sort of settle in and become that shot stopper. And Abby Smith, for people who don't remember, was with the now folded and defunct Boston Breakers. Yep. And that was a team that also gave up a lot of goals. And I just sort of look at Abby Smith as someone who, when she gets put into a game where she's sort of forced to become that shot stopper, where she knows the shots are just going to come at her, is a little bit stronger in a game like that. So I think when you're going up against OL Reign, you know that that's an automatic, that you are going to see shots. You're going to face those multiple shots, you know, over the course of 90 minutes. So I do think that maybe going in with that knowledge ahead of time is helpful.
And as you talked about, Allie Krieger, she went out in the opening with 10 minutes, I think, yeah, of Gotham's match. And whether she starts, she plays, or she doesn't play, we're not going to see rotation in the back line in the first 10 minutes, which I think adds to a little bit of stability, not only for Gotham defense, but for Abby Smith in goal as well. I mean, that had to be a little bit of a shakeup. Your captain and your organizer and your vocal leader goes out of the game, and now everything changes. The dynamics change.
No, on the rain side of this as well, I think referring to Sonnet in the midfield, was it partially out of need? Was it partially out of, you know, trial? Was it a mixture of both? Either way, didn't look great. Thought Sonnet looked flustered at times, played into pressure at moments, and that's not kind of something that you want out of your six. So we'll see if that's something that continues in week two. But I think in terms of picking a winner in this one, again, this was a match where I was like, I'm going back and forth, but I'm going to go with the rain in this one as well. I think that this is the game where they get the goal in the back of the net, and it's going to happen against a questionable, I think, Gotham defense, or at least a defense that is still trying to work on that cohesion themselves. So I think if Kristen Edmonds is good to go, even without an Allie Krieger, that back line will still have a player there that can sort of cover some things if they get snuck in behind. But I think the Rain have too many good pieces to have another week where they don't get a goal in the back of the net. So we're both going Rain in this one. We got one final pick to make. San Diego Wave versus North Carolina Courage. This one closing things out on Saturday evening, a 10 p.m. Eastern start on Paramount Plus. Two teams each getting an opening week win. Mm-hmm. We've got a second consecutive game at home for San Diego Wave. North Carolina, their first time on the road. Who do you got in this one?
I have San Diego taking the win. I'm not burying the lead at this point. Yeah. San Diego being at home, second week in a row, they packed Snapdragon last weekend. I think it's going to be a very similar crowd turnout. I just don't foresee Casey Stoney and San Diego getting a loss at this point in the season. The way that they played last week against a Chicago side, it was a little bit of a call response for San Diego. They let up a goal, they score one, they score another, they let up a goal, and then they draw a penalty kick to close out this game in the waning minutes of regulation. This is a San Diego side that looks very complete, despite having a lot of young players. I mean, we saw Jaden Shaw get a goal in last week. I think that they have a lot of flexibility, San Diego, with how they play and how they match up against their opponents, using that flexibility of various formations to capitalize on the weaker parts of their opposition. That's Casey Stoney being a mastermind and understanding the game tactically and making sure her players know that whatever position they're playing in, whatever formation they have, their roles shift a little bit. And that's what's really impressive to watch from San Diego. For North Carolina, this is a team that, yes, got 3 points last week and they did get a win. But that win over Kansas City for North Carolina was a little bit unassuming. I mean, the goal coming for North Carolina really just caught Kansas City off guard. And it was a shot from distance from the Danish international. And because of that, I don't think it's going to be as easy for them to get one past San Diego's defense. I really think that being on the road is going to be a struggle for North Carolina as well, having to travel across the country and play in Snapdragon, an environment in which San Diego really thrives when they're there. So because of this and Alex Morgan, I think she's going to get one in the run of play, not a penalty kick this week. I think San Diego is going to take the win and pick up back-to-back weeks with all 3 points.
You're not going to get much different from me in this one. And I'm not trying to treat it as if this is like a sure bet or a near lock, right? We're not a betting show. we're just a three and we are making our picks. But I think San Diego Wave, despite conceding first against Chicago, maybe that was a bit of the week one kind of combination of that, the week one jitter, perhaps, and a combination of Chicago just like being a team that is like, you just got to put your foot through it sometimes and it happens. And I just think it's going to go a little bit differently against a North Carolina Courage side that, is, again, is one of those teams with a lot of new faces, right? We've been talking about that with certain players across certain teams. And I'm with you in that opening lone game-winning goal from Gayol. And it really did just sort of, it just came out of a moment of smart heads-up play from a player like that, where there was maybe some a little bit of frantic feeling on both sides, just kind of going back and forth a little bit, but nothing was really clicking, even though North Carolina was off on the front foot first for that game, for much of that opening week one match, but weren't really getting the goals in the back of the net despite getting into, you know, dangerous places. So maybe that is a little bit different for them on the road against a San Diego team that already has also picked up 3 points against, you know, within an environment that's likely to be not so similar to the one, or not so friendly to the one that they had in their opening week. So it's going to be a little bit different for a lot of these young players on the Courage playing in front of possibly 20 plus versus, you know, 4,000 at home. So, I'm looking for some adjustments and some improvements for both of these teams out of their week one performances, because even though they got wins, there was still a lot there that they wanted to work on. I'm sure San Diego was like, why, how in the hell did we concede first? And I'm sure North Carolina is like, we kind of kept the 2022 runners up on the ropes, and yet we really couldn't put them away. That second goal, that insurance goal, was just sort of something they were never able to make sure they got in the back of the net. And I think if you're San Diego and you're that thinking about the defensive organization that you're going to present to North Carolina Courage, again, the footage is out. We saw that they were just running up that right side. Caroline was pretty much the player to go ahead and try to be that facilitator. And I think that there's enough there for Casey Stoney and San Diego Wave to say, this is what we got to work on. And if we execute it, we're going to come out with the win. And that's why I'm going with them as well. So, don't worry, everybody. We got our picks written down. Lisa's, the notebook is back. It's there. We're going to be back with the recap and see what we got right, what we got wrong. We love to do that. Make sure you tune in to week two action on Paramount Plus and CBS for NWSL regular season. Paramount Plus is your home for the 2023 NWSL season, and Paramount Plus is giving one free month to kickstart you for the NWSL season. Use promo code NWSL2023, that's NWSL2023, for one free month of Paramount Plus. We're going to have a live weekend recap for you all Sunday night after Angel City versus Gotham. So when that match finishes,
Orlando.
Right here.
Angel City, Orlando. Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Angel City, Orlando. I'm still stuck on all kinds of other games. We got a lot of teams that we just ran through here.
We got a lot
of
teams.
Angel City versus Orlando. Make sure you come and check us out on YouTube, because we're going to hit you with the live recap of the weekend slate of games. And make sure you come and see if we were correct in some of our picks. But that's it for today. Thank you all so much for listening to Attacking Third. Download, follow, listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. You can watch us too. Subscribe to us on YouTube to make sure you get alerts for whenever we go live. YouTube.com/Attacking Third. We'll be back with a weekend recap. Make sure to join us live on Sunday evening. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.